Yes, parenting is important. We all want our children to be honest and respectful, successful. But the purpose of biblical parenting is so much more than just that. Hi, and welcome to License to Parent with Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill Academy, transforming the lives of teens in times of crisis. I'm Rich Rosel, and over the last few programs, we've heard from Trace his story of how the Lord completely changed his life, moved him across the country, taught him things about parenting, and made him a radio talk show host. Today, we'll wrap up his story and learn some foundational parenting principles here on License to Parent. And Trace, before we begin, I do want to tell our listeners that the first three programs in this four-part series are available on our website at licensedtoparent.org. But as we conclude this conversation, I think it would be safe to say that you haven't reached what you would imagine to be the final destination of your ministry yet. Starting Shepherd's Hill Academy, even the License to Parent broadcast, those weren't your goals and may not have even been on your radar, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I never intended, someone would have told me I'd be on the radio doing a radio program. That would be an absolute joke. You know, I didn't even know for sure that I'd be working with kids, a residential program, a school for a guy who didn't even finish college. You know, I mean, right. Here I'm running a school with people who are master degreed under me in specific fields.
Yeah, but you own the field. That's the only difference.
Well, yeah, go back to what you said earlier. God owns the field. I'm the steward over it. Right. I'm the joker that said, okay, send me. I'll go. You know, Books and other resources are things. You know, they did a movie here, the documentary film Captivated, about what digital technology is doing to the brain circuitry of young people and adults, for that matter. And they did it here. You know, how was I to know that kind of stuff was going to take place? Had no idea. So, I never intended for stuff like this. But if this is where God has me, this is where I'll go. If he has me selling shoes tomorrow, you know, what size do you wear?
And the day after that may be another surprise, and yeah. It doesn't matter. You're still on the journey.
Yeah, you know, I've had people come to me many times in the past and say, Trace, what's your five-year vision for this place, or your five-year goal, rather? And I'd say, you know what? I almost feel embarrassed to say, I couldn't tell you. I obey God for the day. I don't have this big business plan. I've had guys in the radio industry who appreciate the content here and say, "What's your 5-year plan?"
Yeah.
And I know that's discouraging for them, but I can't tell you. But I'm excited about where it's going. And as I keep obeying God's will along the way, I guarantee that vision will get clearer. And I also guarantee you that as it gets clearer, I'll be more tempted to jump ahead of God. And I don't want to be in that position.
Yeah. Are you ever tempted to say, well, God has not made me privy to the 5-year plan? Because, you know, he's got a 5-year plan. Yeah. We just don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, that's a good line. I'll have to remember that one.
Feel free to plagiarize. That's fine. Well, let's talk about where you do see things right now, though, in License to Parent, for example. This is a radio ministry that has grown out of Shepherd's Hill, and you're trying to, I think your words were, to teach to the people outside the gates, mm-hmm. what you've learned while being inside the gates of Shepherd's Hill. And that's not to say there's a prison camp or something.
Right. But there's no gates here, actually.
That's true. But, you know, what's inside has been a great learning field, mm-hmm. a great learning environment. And your goal is to pass on some of the basic parenting principles that years ago we may have thought were common sense, to make them common once again for believing parents, and to say, this is how you can lead your children effectively through life to raise adults. We always have to remember, as parents, we're not raising kids, we're raising future adults.
Right.
And to make them become those disciples of Christ that you know that we hope to be, we want them to be as well. So talk about what you see going on right now and what you are hoping to bring to the radio listener.
I think in a nutshell, I want the listener to know how important it is for them to adopt a biblical worldview about all aspects of life, but parenting in particular. We're going to hone in on this program, parenting. There are other programs out there focused on the family life today, and these are great programs. They're needed. But we're honing in just on the parenting aspect of things, because the next generation is going to perpetuate, or at least we want them to perpetuate, a biblical worldview to their kids. And I think if the world sees that we don't get divorced like the rest of the world, that our kids obey us better than their kids do, again, more is caught than taught. The same thing we say about the goings-on at Shepherd's Hill. If people can see that we're doing life, experiencing the kingdom of God, the righteousness, the peace, the joy in the Holy Ghost, then they're going to want what we want. And I think it starts by planting those seeds in our kids. And there should be no reason that our testimony is blown because of how we relate to our kids and how our kids relate to us.
But now to raise an objection here, if we look at the church as a whole right now, the divorce rate is as high or higher than it is in mainstream America. Our kids are getting into the same trouble that other kids are.
They are.
If I'm hearing you right, you're saying that there's a way to prevent that.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be that way. But we have been so seduced by the entertainment industry, by Madison Avenue, Hollywood, MTV, and whatnot, to where we've allowed Baal in the camp as opposed to being an influence to the culture. The culture has influenced the church. And we got to turn that around. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be, Rich, when you and I were growing up, we lived in Jerusalem, metaphorically speaking. But today we live in Babylon. And we have got to be producing some Daniels and some Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednegos to go out there and change it and to show the Nebuchadnezzars of the world that, hey, you know what? These guys can be trusted. You know, these guys are what we want to emulate. We want to be these guys. Our founding fathers, they started this nation with biblical principles, and for the first 200 years of our nation's existence, we did pretty well. It wasn't until we strayed from God and his principles that we're now starting to spiral down the tubes really quickly.
Mm. And by the way, the Babylonian example you gave, what struck me is even in that example, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, of course, those were Israelites. They were the believers,
That's right.
if you will, that were placed in the world, Babylon,
mm-hmm. yep.
but yet lived the life according to God's call in their lives. And so if we as individuals, as husbands and wives, but specifically as parents, live our lives that way, saying, you know, okay, I understand that little Johnny and little Susie, or whatever their names may be, mm-hmm. that their parents allow them to do thus and such, you know, here's what we're allowing, and here's why we're allowing it, and I'm sorry we don't stray from that.
Yeah, we have to be bold enough to be different. You know, when we lived in Jerusalem, metaphorically speaking, let's say the early 1960s or the 50s, yeah. we didn't live our lives as Christians much different than the rest of the nation did. I mean, Father Knows Best, Make Room for Danny, Leave It to Beaver, those were programs that were emblematic of at least the model. We knew no one really lived like that, but yeah. we were a lot closer than today, whereas today— we have to live quite a bit different than the Simpsons and mm-hmm. the Family Guy and the Married with Children and the Desperate Housewives and, you know, the things that we're trying to make normal, not to mention our government officials, our teachers, and even those in the church are emulating the folks that populated Sodom and Gomorrah. So we're going to look a lot different. When the yeah. Bible says we're a peculiar people, we didn't quite know what that all meant in the 1960s. Today, we are going to look peculiar, and we haven't looked peculiar enough. We need to perform before an audience of one. I keep going back to that.
That's true, our God. Back in the 1950s and 60s, we had society backing us up, too. It would right. be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel living in Jerusalem.
Exactly.
All of Jerusalem had the same mindset, and you and I talked a while back about— if I acted up at home, if I did something I wasn't supposed to, mm-hmm. I would be punished.
Right.
But if I acted up down the street and my neighbors saw me, yeah. I would be punished or at least dragged by the ear yeah. by my neighbor, you know, yep. back to my parents to say, you know, your son is messed up here. He's done such and such.
Exactly.
It was a team effort, if yep. you will. And I'm not trying to get back to the comment from the Clinton administration, if it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. But to a degree, it does. It took society standing together under a very similar moral code and ideal to be able to make this happen. But we don't have that groundwork around us anymore. We really are out of place, and yet God holds us to the same right. standard.
And, you know, Hillary was on the right track when she said it takes a village, but it takes a village idiot to really believe what she defined as a village. She was right about the village, but wrong about how to define the village. It's not government programs and this and that and the other. It's God's people doing God's thing, God's way.
And if the whole village is living in a way that is anti-God's law, right. anti-God's way, then that's the wrong village.
Exactly. That's not the village you want raising your kids.
Exactly.
It's the village people.
Yes, it depends on what kind of people are in your village, right? Well, maybe you're beginning to catch the vision of Licensed to Parent and Shepherd's Hill Academy. Parenting, biblical parenting, it's not just about raising obedient children, but actually affecting the culture for the gospel. And we'll be right back with more after this. Hi, I'm Rich Rosel, co-host of Licensed to Parent. The conversations and the teaching that you hear on this program come from the daily experiences gained at Shepherd's Hill Academy, the Christ-centered therapeutic boarding school founded by our host, Trace Embry, that serves troubled teenagers from all around the world. Teens come to Shepherd's Hill struggling with depression, oppositional defiance, ADD, ADHD, cutting, digital addictions, and any number of other behavioral disorders. Yet by God's grace, and by using the scriptural principles that we discuss right here on Licensed to Parent, these students experience healing. Not only that, many are graduating medication-free. At Shepherd's Hill, we're cultivating the soil of our students' hearts so that the seed of God's Spirit can take root and bear fruit. And on Licensed to Parent, we're equipping you to be the parent your child needs. Please join us in this important outreach by visiting us today at licensedtoparent.org. Your tax-deductible contribution can rebuild the hearts and lives of teens and their parents in today's troubled culture. Don't wait. Go to licensedtoparent.org and click donate at the top of the page.
This is Kevin Swanson from Generations with Vision, and I want to say that Shepherd's Hill Academy is a wonderful opportunity for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the reconciliation of our young people with God, reformation of life, the ministry of the Spirit of God, and radically changing lives. And by the grace of God, this is what happens with Shepherd's Hill Academy. And we want to praise God for what these folks have been doing.
Shepherd's Hill Academy serves families with teenagers in crisis. If you have a situation you need help with, go to helpmytroubledteen.org and click on Inquire Now. That's helpmytroubledteen.org.
You're listening to Licensed to Parent. I'm Rich Rosel, and for the past few weeks, Trace Embry has been sharing his story about how the Lord changed his life and brought him to the place of running a Christ-centered boarding school for teens in crisis, endorsed, by the way, by folks like Dr. Ravi Zacharias and David Barton, and making him a host of a national radio program. And Trace, your testimony and your experience working with kids and families from all over the world should give any prudent individual a reason, at the very least, to explore the Bible, the biblical narrative, if you will, when it comes to raising kids. But many parents don't see it that way. Why do you think there is such resistance to accepting the Bible as the best place for parenting counsel? Why is it often the last place parents turn?
Well, I think, number one, they don't see Scripture as a parenting book. They see it as a book of theology, a place to learn about the gospel and Bible stories, so to speak. I think they think it's too overwhelming, perhaps not relevant to today's issues. Some just flat don't believe it. They just don't believe the Bible is the authoritative word of God. I think a lot of them think they have to dig through a pile of Bible stories and theological ideas in order to find those nuggets of parenting. I think if they dug into it, they'd find that that's really not the case.
Today, there is an attitude of, I'm not going to work for it. If I'm going to take it in, I have to be spoon-fed.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you see that in a lot of cases with the teens who come to Shepherd's Hill Academy.
Right.
And that's something we're going to talk about in just a moment, is some of the issues that we deal with as parents and that you deal with specifically here. But I guess parents are expressing some of that too. I just can't dig through the Scriptures mm-hmm. to get that.
And when you have both parents working 8 to 5 or 8 to 8 in a lot of cases, and they're not eating together, and there's really no time no margin in their lives to explore these things. But
right.
Just to give a parent a heads up, go straight to Proverbs. You can read one proverb a day every month and read the whole book of Proverbs 12 times a year. That really, I think a lot of people would agree that that's probably all the parenting you need right there, is just one chapter of Proverbs a day. You can read that or get it on Bible tape, for crying out loud, and listen to it in your car. Hebrews 12 is another good place. If you don't want to go any deeper than just those two locations, just camp out in Hebrews 12, camp out in the book of Proverbs, and you heed the counsel given in those two places, you'll be in good shape.
Well, speaking of being in good shape, now, first of all, neither one of us would say that's all you should look at.
Of course not. No.
Obviously, you got a whole lot more in the Bible than just one chapter in one entire book. Those are foundational. Those undergird most everything that is taught here. I want us to spend the last part of this conversation talking about some of the overarching parenting principles that we have learned, that you specifically have learned running Shepherd's Hill Academy, but the things that undermine what we as parents try to do and the things that we address on the Licensed to Parent program to help them overcome and excel in getting their kids beyond some of these challenges. Can we do that?
Sure.
Well, the first one I know is something that I actually had to look up when we first talked about it because I wasn't sure what you meant, but it's understanding postmodernism as it applies to today's kids.
And I would guarantee you that a lot of people listening are wondering, how in the world does that relate to my kids? I can tell you that every parent that brings a child through Shepherd's Hill Academy, when they go through our parenting workshops and our parenting weekends, they ask the same thing. They don't connect the dots there. But if you don't understand postmodernism, you're putting one hand behind your back in your parenting journey.
Well, let's give it a definition. I said earlier that postmodernism is basically a person creating his own reality and saying, well, this is what's real for me in my life. Mm-hmm. And the net result of that is not only have you created your own reality, you also have created your own morality. So there is no moral absolute. Would that be a fair assessment of what we're talking about?
Yeah, it would be. I mean, you know, your truth is as good as my truth. My truth is as good as your truth. If it feels good, do it. Do your own thing. What's right for you is right, may not be right for me. It's moral relativism, if you will.
And how dare you push your morality down my throat?
Exactly. That's just your opinion, yeah. You know, and how many parents have been spoon-fed that from their children when they catch them in some kind of moral dilemma? Junior, you shouldn't have done this because, well, that's just your opinion. That's classic postmodern thought right there. And postmodern thought comes through TV, public school system. I would say that the classic postmodern line came from President Bill Clinton when he got caught with Monica Lewinsky. And he says, that depends on what the meaning of is. Now, you can't get more primitive than that. But it's your basic deconstruction of the language. And if we as parents are defining godly terms with the devil's dictionary, or our kids, rather, are defining godly terms with the devil's dictionary, then peace and freedom and love and all these terms mean something different to your son or daughter than they mean to you. And so you're communicating back and forth with your child on two totally different levels. So there's no real communication going on. When you talk about freedom, he thinks it's the freedom to do what he wants as opposed to the freedom to do what he ought to do. But ought implies the absolute that postmodernism says doesn't exist.
You mentioned this just a moment ago, and that is other things that have an effect on our understanding of postmodernism and media, entertainment. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing too.
Yeah, and I think this is an area that has been grossly, and I mean grossly, underestimated. You know, when our kids are exposed to 24/7 music, entertainment through TV, in front of screens and whatnot, they are being indoctrinated literally around the clock. And that is the other parent. And if the other parent is spending more time or having more influence than you are, which worldview is that child going to adopt? And as we say in the close of a lot of our programs, is if you don't train your children, somebody else will. And the truth is, somebody else already has.
Right. And our access to entertainment is so much greater now than it used to be. You know, so many people have smartphones, and our kids too. I don't have a smartphone, so I'm often in awe of the little 5-year-old who has something like that. But
thinks it's his rite of passage, by the way. He thinks it's his rite of passage.
And digital devices come at a great price, especially if there aren't certain boundaries set up around them. But talk about the influence there. You mentioned a movie that was shot here several years back that deals with the dilemma of electronic access.
It's actually changing the way the brain is being wired up, where these kids really can't think critically, constructively, or creatively anymore. All you got to do is go to a McDonald's and try to get your change back or your order right to see that something has drastically changed. I mean, think about this. Kids aren't taking, or they are taking, rather, calculators to math class. You know, so there's parts of the brain that don't have to fire anymore. And the brain was never designed to deal with this multitasking to the degree it's dealing with it today. It's like kind of driving your car in passing gear from here to California. How long is it going to last before it finally gives out? That's what's happening to our kids.
And I know that if you go into, for example, any restaurant today and you look around, you'll find that at least one member of every table is probably sitting at the table texting.
Right.
You're sitting here in a social environment with real people across the table from you, and yet you've got the texting going on. And by the way, I'm not saying that the technology itself is a problem. It's the abuse of the technology,
right.
The misuse of it.
That's right.
Because there's no structure, no strings attached as to when it's appropriate to use it and when it's not.
It is all too new to apply any, what I would call tech etiquette to the equation. You know, this stuff is too new. Just like automobiles were new, you know, 100 and some years ago. How many people had to be killed in automobile accidents before we realized, well, you know, we need some safety precautions involved in this thing. It's the same thing with digital technology. It's just that the technology is moving so much faster, we haven't caught up with it yet.
But don't you dare set up a rule, because what's right for you isn't right for me.
Exactly, yeah.
You mentioned this also for the five-year-old with a smartphone, that it is considered a rite of passage quite often to get the Xbox, to get the iTouch, to get the smartphone or whatever. There is, I believe the word you use is affluenza.
Yeah.
Define what you mean by that.
Well, affluence is where I got the word affluenza. It becomes an illness. I mean, when you look at some of the tragedies that have taken place around the nation, these school shootings and mall shootings and things like that, these didn't happen in the inner city. These happened in areas where people had stuff. And as Ravi Zacharias has said, we become weary of pleasure before we become weary of pain. Because when you just accomplished what you thought would bring the ultimate with pleasure, and it's let you down, where do you go from there? You go crazy. You start doing stuff like shooting up schools. You feel entitled to have the best of everything just for showing up. And reality, it might work in your postmodern world. It might work in your video game world where the guy you kill comes back to life. But in reality, game over when this stuff happens.
Yeah, you can't turn off damage.
That's exactly right.
That's one thing I remember when my kids were playing some of the driving video games, and they would turn off damage. And I would just warn them. I said, listen, in real life, that doesn't work.
Yeah. But we live in a virtual world. And this postmodern worldview that this virtual world found itself in, they're just a synergistic effect there. And as we get kids coming to Shepherd's Hill here in the last few years even, it's just amazing. They have no place to plant their feet as to what right and wrong is. It's almost like they're devoid of a conscience. It's a scary place to be.
And if you were to pull away the crutches, the electronic crutches that they've grown so used to, they wouldn't even know how to plant their feet because they wouldn't know how to stand.
It's incredible. I mean, we've had kids that didn't know how to tell time, tie their shoes. They can rebuild a computer, but they don't know how to do the simple things of life.
As parents, we are called to set the boundaries, to create boundaries. But that takes the building first of a respect for authority. Because our kids, even though they may need the boundaries, if we set them, again, it gets back to the, well, why should I follow your boundaries? So how big an issue is respect for authority? Is that something that we can restore in the household?
We have to restore that in the household. I'm just absolutely dazzled to go in churches and watch a two-year-old climb over the pews and play with games and food even. And the parents are looking around like, isn't he cute? And I'm thinking to myself, no, he's not cute at all. I remember when kids would sit still at 2 years old, and they can do it, folks. They can do it. The problem is we're not requiring it of them. And when a kid is allowed from 2 years old or 1 year old to kind of roam and do what they want to do, when they want to do it, where they want to do it, then when they're 12 and 13, then they're 200 pounds and, 12 years too late to make them do the right thing. So they need to learn this self-restraint at a young age so that and respect for authority at a young age when things are still manageable. Because when they get older, Katie bar the door.
But what that leads us to is saying, well, then, as a parent, how am I to view life and view parenting in a way that does establish a moral absolute for my kids?
Well, I think that's when you have to, draw that line in the sand and say, listen, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will filter all of our truth and reality through a biblical worldview. And without parents to establish those boundaries, then that takes every ounce of security away from those children. And they're going to find security. It's going to look like a gang. It's going to look like, a million different ways that you don't want it to look like. If you don't establish those boundaries and jumpstart Junior when he's still manageable into some self-restraint with that biblical worldview, as if they're the Daniels of the world. So when they leave the home, they understand that, if they have a biblical worldview, they will know that the whole world is going to think things differently than they do, and differently as their family has trained them. But that Scripture is the thing that hasn't changed. It's the society that's changed, basically.
As we've been mentioning, at least in the last part of License to Parent today, what we're covering right now, these are some of the core issues, some of the central beliefs, if you will, that are common in everything that's taught at Shepherd's Hill Academy and everything that we try to express here on the License to Parent program. And I noticed in all of this, we've talked about some of the problems and the lack of boundaries, et cetera. But I think probably the last one we need to touch on, at least for today, is the lack of discipline.
No doubt. And that lack of discipline is perpetuated in the public school system, where political correctness is taken over and tells the teachers, well, you can't do this, you can't do that. Litigation is involved in that, which reinforces the political correctness, which takes us away from the discipline. You know, kids have the freedom to do this and that and the other. And we fail to realize that we've given these kids a license with this freedom to do what their brains are not equipped to do. You and I, Rich, are adults. Our the frontal lobe in our brains, where the action and consequence part is fully developed. We understand action. We understand consequence. A 15-year-old kid is still 10 years removed from having that developed. And so maybe 100 years ago, that frontal lobe was more developed because we did expect more for our kids then. But today, from science, we know that it's not until probably the age of 25 that most kids have that development. So they do need parents to impose discipline upon them and hopefully cultivate an attitude as they're growing up for them to exercise self-discipline, all under the umbrella of that biblical worldview.
And as the Bible teaches us, God disciplines those whom he loves.
Absolutely.
Discipline is an act of love. It's not an act of retribution. It's not done out of anger.
Right.
Discipline is part of the sculpting to make this young man, this young woman, into the mature man or woman that God wants him to be and that you want him to be as well. Well, we have spent several programs now in what I would call the Genesis conversation, the story of Trace Embry, our host and the founder of Shepherd's Hill Academy, and the story behind the founding of Shepherd's Hill and the License to Parent Radio Outreach. If you have not heard the first programs in this series, you'll find those in the archive section of our website at licensedtoparent.org, licensedtoparent.org. We encourage you not only to listen, but also to share these conversations with other parents you know. Raising a new generation of leaders is a team effort, and building that team is not going to happen if you're the only one listening. So without your help to spread the word about this program, it's going to take a while. By the way, while you're on our website, you can also subscribe to our blog or our email newsletter, and when you do so, you'll receive absolutely free a copy of America's Youth Culture Manifesto, which is a short ebook that highlights the problems in today's youth, parents, families, and ultimately the church, because knowing the problems is the first step toward finding the solutions. And finally, let me remind you that License to Parent is made possible through generous financial gifts from people just like you. If you feel that you benefit from this program, I really hope that you'll prayerfully consider making a donation to help us stay on the air and to help our outreach grow. Just visit our website at licensedtoparent.org and click on the donate button if you'd like to find out more.
Folks, remember, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.